All right, well, it's been good to be here this morning. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 8. I really appreciate what God's done here today. And if I could say anything to you young people as you're turning to the text this morning, make sure you soak up what's going on in these days. I know a lot of times we all get caught up in the activities and just having fun. I think life ought to be fun, and I want to have fun in life. But don't miss out what God has given you. I did not grow up in this atmosphere. I did not have this. I got saved at 18 years old after I'd left home. I was in the military at the time and got saved and floundered around a little bit until I got serious at serving God. So I was probably mid-20s before I really got serious in serving the Lord. And I've got a lot of wasted years. Many of you young people here, you're light years ahead of where I was at your age. And don't miss it. I thought about this as I was sitting over there listening to the testimonies and the preaching this morning. Don't miss what God's got for you right now. You may not think it's important, but if you ever get outdoors much and get out in the woods, one of the most majestic trees in our area here is a white oak. They grow huge and most of the time get very big and spread out. And those big trees like that, they're a product of what they took in many years before. So what you're taking in right now this morning, it may not seem profound to you. It may not seem like a major thing, but you'll turn around, like's already been testified this morning. You'll turn around and look back on your life one day. And if you've taken in what God's given you, you'll be glad you did. So don't miss that if you would, all right? Joshua chapter 8, I want to give you just a simple thought here this morning the Lord's placed on our heart. I want to look at mainly the verse 1 and 2 of chapter 8, but I want to back up in chapter 7 and begin our reading in verse 24. So if you would follow along with me this morning. Joshua, beginning in chapter 7, verse 24. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you again for the privilege of being here this morning. And thank you for what you've done here this week and the tremendous group of young people that are here today. I pray you'd open their hearts. I pray that you'd give them what they stand in need of, not only this morning, but through the service tonight. And Lord, everything that's been preached and testified and given to them this week, I ask, Lord, that you would help them to retain it and to live on it and to let their life be strengthened and to follow you. Lord, the theme this morning has been going forward and gaining ground and being what you'd have us to be. I pray you'd purpose that in their hearts today. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to look, of course, at the life of Achan here very quickly, really the end of the life of Achan. And most of you know this story. It's pretty familiar if you've been in church any length of time and heard much Bible preaching. But the nation of Israel in the book of Joshua, it's a book of victory, and they're gaining victory as they're going into Canaan land. And step by step, God is taking them into the land, and God is working in their life. He brought them across the Jordan River, which was a miracle within itself in chapter 3. And they established the monuments, the memorial, the one in the midst of the river, the one on the Gilgal side. Now they go into Jericho in previous chapters, chapter 6, and God gave them great victory. All they had to do was be obedient to the Lord and march around the walls for 7 days. And by obeying the Lord's strange commands as far as taking a city, they were willing and obedient to do that. And God gave them great victory, and they marched right through Jericho, and God blessed them tremendously. But we know from our text in reading chapter 7, there was a man by the name of Achan that decided to do things his own way. He decided he wasn't going to listen to the command of God. He was not going to follow the orders from Joshua, his spiritual leader. And therefore, as they went through the city of Jericho, and God had commanded them not to touch of anything in that city, to leave alone the city, the treasures, or the, I call it the trash of the city, to leave that alone and not touch it. It was accursed. And the silver, the gold, the iron, the brass was to be put in the coffers of the Lord. But Achan, just like a lot of people do, decided he was going to do his own thing. And as they went through that city, he took some things that he should not have taken. He hid them in his tent. So when you go into chapter 7, you find now they're facing the next city, which is a city by the name of Ai. And it's relatively small compared to the city of Jericho, and it would have been very easy. Matter of fact, at the beginning of chapter 7, as they begin to assess Ai and think about going in, I believe Joshua made a mistake by not inquiring of the Lord. If he had done so, I believe God would have showed him at that time their sin in the camp, and they wouldn't have suffered defeat. But they were just high on the victory of Jericho, and they ran into Ai, and they were turned tail and run, and 36 men died because of that. So now you find the nation of Israel in chapter 7 has went from a high from chapter 6 to a low of chapter 7. They're defeated, they're discouraged, they're distressed. And Joshua lays out before the Lord, and the Lord said, "Get up, Joshua, quit weeping and crying and belly aching. There's sin in the camp." So they go through the process of nailing down the sin in the camp throughout chapter 7, and it comes to Achan and his families where the sin is at. Achan confesses it in previous verses that he eyed or coveted the Babylonian garment and the gold and the silver, and he took them and he hid them in his tent. And what Achan did by taking those things, he did some things that he really didn't realize. He thought he was just going to take something, enjoy it at a later time, and he would probably get by with it and nobody would ever find out, and he'd be able to keep those things for his own pleasure. But what Achan did was he sold himself short on the things of God. And I want to preach to you just a few moments this morning on the danger of selling yourself short. The danger of selling yourself short. Now, to sell oneself short is just to miss the opportunity that you have in your life, to undervalue what God wants to do in your life. And this goes for all ages, but especially young people this morning. If you're not careful as you're growing up and going through this Christian life, you will sell yourself short on what God has for you. I wish somehow I could convey to you just what God has for your life, how amazing it is. It's been testified by many adults and preached by the preachers this week how that God has great purpose and great plans for you. God has some mighty things, and I know you can't see that a lot of times when you're on the front side of it. A lot of times you have to get a little age on you and look back and see where God has brought you from. And when you're young, sometimes you have spiritual nearsightedness and you can't see what God has for you. And you're very tempted to live in the moment and tempted to live in the pleasure of sin for a season. But I want to look at Achan and his story here and remind you this morning that you don't need to sell yourself out. God has some great things for you and a great work for every life that's in here. And if you'll follow Him and honor Him and do it His way, you'll be able to stand one day when you get a little older and look back and say, God has done marvelous and mighty things in my life. Now, I want to quickly give you three things here about selling yourself short in this text, and we'll be done this morning. First of all, I want to look at Achan. I call him the sinful. Achan committed a sin. It's a sin to covet. It's a sin to steal. It's a sin to do anything that God tells us not to do. That is a sin. I don't care how little or how big it may seem in your eyes. It is a sin. It is a transgression. It is a disobedience against an almighty God. Now let's notice back in verse 24 of chapter 7. I want to establish Achan's position. I know you know this, but I want to just remind you of it. Achan's position in verse number 24 of chapter 7. Here Joshua, all of Israel, is taking Achan and taking the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, all that he has, oxen, ass, sheep, all that was in his tent, all that he had, the Bible said, and brought them into the valley of Achor. Achan's position here is that he is of the family of God. We're not talking about a Canaanite here. We're not talking about a Jebusite or a Hittite or some other heathen. We're talking about a child of God. We're not talking about a man that did not know. We're talking about a man that had been raised raised right and a man that had been taught right and a man that got the clear orders from God through Joshua before they ever entered into Jericho. Do not touch the accursed thing. Leave it alone. Young people, I know sometimes you get tired of hearing it. You get tired of us preachers and your parents and other adults and authority in your life saying, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that. But I'm telling you, we're telling you because we want what's best for you. We're telling you that. We're harping on that. We're sounding like a broken record is because we don't want your life to be broken. We don't want your life to have scars. You look at me this morning, I'm nearly 51 years old, saved by the grace of God, been preaching the gospel for 20 years, saved 32 years, but you don't know the scars in my life. You don't know my past. I hope you never find it out. You don't know some of the things that I deal with every morning when I open my eyes because I made bad decisions and didn't follow what God had in my life at a young age. Here's a man by the name of Achan. His position alone should have taught him not to be where he's at and doing what he's done. But then you find not only Achan's position, it's a great responsibility to be entrusted with the things of God and walk with God and be in the family of God. But also I want you to notice something here, probably a more sad aspect of the story is Achan's partners here. In verse number 24, the Bible tells us not only is Achan now negatively affected by his sin, but it's affecting his family. You may not realize this morning, young people, but I want to remind you of something. The way you're living right now is going to affect your future family. What you're doing right now is going to have a heavy bearing on your life 15, 20, 30 years from now. I didn't realize it when I was your age, and these other adults didn't realize it when they were your age, but we can tell you looking back now that the decisions that you make now, the pathways you walk, the things you get involved in, the things that you let into your eyes and into your ears, as we've heard so well preached this morning, those things are going to set you up for what the rest of your life is going to be. And I want to say this morning, the greatest testimony is that young person that gets saved at a young age and God keeps you away from all that. And by listening and heeding to the Word of God and the examples that God has given you in your life, you bypass those things and you don't wind up an older person with regrets and scars and things in your life and people that you have to dodge because of your past life. God wants to keep you from that kind of life. So here's Achan, not only his position is a position that he should have known better. His partners are now drug into this. His family is going to die because of his sin. His wife, his children, we know he has multiple children according to the scripture. We don't know how many, but the Bible tells us in verse 24, he's got sons, he's got daughters, he has more than just one or two people there. His sin, his disobedience to God is not only selling himself short, but he's selling his family short. And I'm telling you this morning, as a daddy and as a grandpa, and I look at my family, my heart breaks sometimes to think about how my decisions could very well destroy their lives. How my decisions could hinder them. And I can look back and see some of my decisions in my early years as a Christian and how no doubt it did hinder my children. There's some things that I wished I would have done better. Some places I wished I would have been tighter and been closer to the Word of God and been better off in those days. And I'm telling you this morning that you're not just affecting yourself, you're affecting your future. You're affecting your family, not only your children and your spouse-to-be, but your parents and your grandparents. You're affecting your church family. We know this. It's been preached a lot out of this particular text of sin in the camp. When Achan sinned, it negatively affected the entirety of the nation of Israel. 36 funerals because of Achan's sin. 36 widows, more than likely, because of Achan's sin. And a whole nation that's at standstill in chapter 7. A whole nation that comes out of chapter 6 victorious. And Rahab said in chapter 4, our hearts did melt. I mean, they're just steamrolling into Canaan land. And now at chapter 7, here they are at a dead standstill. Joshua, in his prayer earlier in chapter 7 to the Lord, says, Lord, I mean, we're going to be a laughing stock, basically. Lord, this can't happen. Why are we in this situation? It was all because of one man's sin, one man's disobedience, one man selling himself short. So you see his position, his partners, his perishing. Look at verse 25. Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. All Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire after they had stoned them with stones. What a horrible death. What a horrible way to go. Matter of fact, if you look at burning, that's why I don't think a believer ought to be involved in cremation. If you look at burning, it was always the death of the heathen. It was always judgment. That's what burning is about. It's about judgment. It's really a type of a soul that would die without Christ and burn eternally in hell. So here is Achan now. He's burnt. He's stoned with stones. He's burnt with fire. His family's annihilated. What a horrible way to die. What a horrible way to be remembered. You find out this is taking place here in the Valley of Achor, which means the Valley of Trouble. So all the rest of the days, everybody's going to remember Achan and his family as troublemakers. Now, I know we all sin and come short of the glory of God, but I don't want to be known as a troublemaker. I don't want to be known as a troublemaker in my church. I don't want to be known as a troublemaker in my family. I don't want to be known as a troublemaker in my community. I don't want that testimony. I want to finish well and die right and have a good memorial. You go back earlier in the book of Joshua, you see there at Gilgal, and even in the midst of the river, those stones that were stacked up, they were good memorials. But here's a pile of stones, it's a bad memorial. Here's a pile of stones that every day that somebody goes by them and looks at them, they're going to remember a man that sold himself short. They're going to remember a man that sold his family short. They're going to remember a man that sold his nation short and his heritage short, all for a fleeting moment of sin. And I'm telling you, young people, it's so easy this morning to become that sinful man. It's so easy. Listen, I know it's not just young people. There are men my age and older than me that have sold themselves short to sin and decided they were going to go against the Word of God, and the rest of their life they're going to be remembered, and even after they're dead they're going to be remembered just like Achan is being remembered here. How sad it is. So you see the sinful. I got to move on. You see not only the sinful here, but now when we go into chapter 8, I want you to see this with it. I want you to notice the sent now, these that are sent. It's very tragic at what happens in the life of Achan. I've seen this, preached it, heard it preached, read it many times, but every time I go back to it, it still grieves my heart. Every time I read this text or preach out of it or hear somebody deal with it, it grieves my heart. It still has a sharpness to it. It has a dread to it that Achan died this way, and he didn't have to die this way, and he could have had victory with the rest of the nation of Israel. But nevertheless, in chapter 8, God's people are going to move on. I want you to notice a couple things about the people now that are sent forward. And that seems to have been the theme that God's been running through your heart this morning, of moving forward, going on, getting stronger, increasing in the things of God. And now we notice here Achan's not going to be able to do that because he sold himself short. And here in verse number 1 of chapter 8, let's look at the people sent. The Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not." Why did he say that? Because they were discouraged. They were fearful because of the sin of Achan. He said, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed," because they were dismayed. He said, "Take all the people of war with thee. Arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, his people and his city and his land." What you find out now is the people of God, the nation of Israel, they're moving on. And I want to give you just the solemn truth here this morning. The solemn fact of the matter is, if you decide to sell yourself short, the church is still going on. If I decide to sell myself short, the church is still going on. If I decide I'm going to go crazy and stupid and kick out and get into sin and do what the flesh wants to do instead of what the Spirit teaches me to do, it is not going to stop the church from going on. It may shake some folks. It may hinder a local assembly, no doubt. But the church of the living God is going to roll on with or without you. And God would much rather you be a part of what He's doing. He would much rather see you prosper and go forward and from year to year get stronger and more mighty in the things of God. God is never happy when someone falls by the way, and the children of God are never happy. But the fact of the matter is, God is going to move on with the church, and here the nation of Israel now is going to move on without Achan and his family. Isn't that a sad thing? I'll tell you what, I don't want the church to go on without me. I don't want the things of God to take place without me getting in on it and being involved and enjoying the good things of it. I don't like to be a spectator. I never did like to watch sports. If I was going to play sports, I wanted to get in. I don't want to just sit there. I want to be part of it. I want to be involved. And so it is with the things of God. I think one of the saddest things for any believer, preacher, or anybody, one of the saddest things would have to be sitting on a shelf watching God use everybody else while you're sitting there not able to get in on what God had for you. Or maybe hurting yourself to such a degree that you can never get to where God had intended to take you. And I know we don't like to hear that nowadays because we're living in a generation that's been brought up on a reset button. All you got to do is push reset and everything's changed. It doesn't always work that way, young people. I'm going to tell you, you can do some things in your life that will hinder you the rest of your life. You can do some things in your life that will keep you out of victory the rest of your life and getting where God wants you to be. Don't do like Achan. Don't get in that sinful position and sell yourself short. So you see the people sent, the nation of Israel, they're going on now. And let's look at the place sent. The Bible tells us this in verse number 1. They're going to the place called Ai. And when you look at Ai in the scripture, really there's nothing majorly significant about it. But here's the thing about Ai. Ai is the next step forward for the nation of Israel. It's the next place that God intended them to be. And that's what the victorious, Spirit-filled Christian life is all about, is going forward. I don't like to be stagnant. I like to fish a little bit, and I don't like to fish in stagnant water. Amen? I don't like to be around stagnant things and dead things. I want to be moving forward. I want to be gaining ground. I want to be getting somewhere, whether it's in my Christian life or personal life, whatever it is. I want to be gaining ground. If I used to be in business for myself, I wanted to gain ground. I didn't want to go backwards. And here we find now the people of God, they're going forward, and Ai is the next place of blessing. You really never know what God has for you around the corner. It's amazing what God has in store that we don't see. And just over the hilltop is the next place of blessing. Just around the corner is the next good thing that God's got for your life. But if you sell yourself short, you're going to miss out on what God has ahead for you. I wonder this morning how many people, you probably know that in your youth group and some in ours, that are not here this week. They're not involved in this simply because they're no longer with the church anymore. They're no longer doing right. They've kicked out. They've went their own way. They've chosen their own course. They've made a foolish and a fleshly decision. They're not enjoying what you've got to enjoy this week. That's a heartbreaking thing. So here you see that picture here with the nation of Israel and Achan. They're going to the place sent, but Achan and his family now is not going to be with them. Now that leads us to the problem seen here in verse number 1. In verse 1, God tells them to arise, to go. He said, I have given into thine hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. Now verse 1 is joyful. When you study chapter 7, chapter 7's it's a funeral. Chapter 7's discouraging. They go from chapter 6, a high, to chapter 7, a low. Now you get into chapter 8, verse 1, and it's like, okay, good. Business is going to pick up. God said, be not dismayed, fear not, arise, get up, go forward. The sin's been dealt with. But there's a problem here. The problem is not everybody's together. The problem is the nation of Israel is going forward, but again, Achan and his family are no longer with them. I don't know if this happened this way. This is how my mind works. But I wonder if they're marching up the road. They're headed toward Ai. Everybody's looking at each other saying, man, I'm glad that's over with. That was a horrible funeral service. That was one of the worst things I've ever seen. Somebody stoned, their family stoned, burned with fire. What a awful thing. Man, I'll never get that out of my mind. They're marching up the road, and another one of the men look at another and say, well, I'm just glad that's over. I'm glad that's behind us. I'm glad God's not cut us off. I'm glad we're getting to go forward. And somebody else pops up and says, yeah, fellas, that's good. I'm glad we're involved in this, but I sure wish Achan was with us. I sure wish his wife was with us. Maybe some of the young people said, boy, I wish Achan's kids, we just played with them a few days ago. We were just throwing rocks by the creek bank a week ago, and now they're buried back in the valley of trouble. And boy, I wish they were with us. They're brokenhearted. There's a problem because a man sold himself short. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. It's a major problem if you sell yourself short. You sell yourself short in the things of God at certain times in your life. God is all about timing. When I look back at my life, and I know you older Christians, you look back in your life, and I see the miraculous timing of God in my life, I could not have orchestrated that. I could not have put it together. Matter of fact, I tried to put my life together before I got saved, and God saved me and then scrambled it up and said, no, let's do it my way. And I can look back now some 32 years later and say, praise God, I'm glad He did it His way. Timing is everything with God. And if you sell yourself short and miss the timing that God has in your life, it's going to hurt you the rest of your life. In the plant world, in the agricultural world, if we've got any farmers in here, you know this, timing is everything. If you miss a certain time in the growth process of whatever you're growing, it's going to hinder that plant, it's going to hinder that fruit for the rest of its existence. Timing is everything. That's why the book of Ecclesiastes says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth before the evil days come. Timing is everything. So here Achan, because of his sin and because of his willfulness to get into sin, remember, he knew better. It's not that he didn't know better. It's not that he was ignorant of it. He knew better. And I want to remind you again, where much is given, much is required. You're a group of people in this generation that you know. I know where you come from. I know where you go to church. I know your pastors. You are the cream of the crop. But be very careful that you don't miss out on what God's given you, because you're going to be held responsible for what you've heard in your life. There's going to be a day you're going to face God, and God's going to say, I gave you every opportunity. I gave you all the instruction. I put you in a good atmosphere, in a good environment. You had everything you needed, and you sold yourself out and missed out on what I had for you. What a sad thing. Now, I want to bring this down to a point right here and show you this. We see the sinful in chapter 7, verses 24 through 26. And I want to remind you this morning, any of us can become that sinful person. I don't care how long you've been saved or what kind of family you come out of, how good your church is. Don't let your pride get in the way and make you think you can't end up like Achan. Achan never thought he'd end up like this, but he did. You see the sinful, you see the sin, the nation of Israel now is going on. It ought to break our hearts to think about somehow or another that we would sell ourselves short, and then people would go on and get further in the things of God, and we'd be left behind. We'd miss out on what God has for us. I've talked to some people that I pastored before that they're right with God now, but they'll tell you about a time in their life where they sold out. And some of them have told me, said, preacher, I missed out on what God had for me, and I can never get back to that. They made some decisions that disqualified them from some things that God wanted them to do, no doubt. They made some decisions that hindered them and spiritually handicapped them to such a degree, and they know it. Their own testimony, they said, I can never be everything that I could have been because I sold myself out. That's the danger this morning, young person. See, in this modern generation, a lot of religious people want to tell you, well, just go live it up, do what you want to, run back to the altar, just say a few words, just make a little confession. Listen, we're not Catholic this morning, okay? That's not what we are. We're Bible-believing Baptists, and we understand, thank God, He is a God of mercy. He is a God of grace. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But the Bible also teaches us that you reap what you sow. Don't miss that this morning. You're going to reap what you sow. If you go against the known Word of God and the Holy Spirit trying to keep you from going down those roads, and you go against that and you sell yourself out, you are going to pay the price in your flesh for what you've done. I promise you that. Nobody gets around it. Nobody gets around it. So here's Achan now. He's the sinful, the sent. They're going forward. But now let's look at verse number 2. Here's where I want to get to before I finish this morning. I want you to look here this morning what I call the substance in verse number 2. Look at this. The Bible said this. First of all, the promise. Let's look at the promise in verse 2. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. What a wonderful promise. Remember back in chapter 7 when Achan sinned, God put the brakes on the forward movement of the nation of Israel. We know it because we've read the Bible, but at that particular time, they didn't know if they were ever going to go forward anymore. As far as they were concerned, according to Joshua's prayer, Joshua was afraid that this was it. God was done with them. He was going to ride them off and leave them helpless in the land of the heathen. So they didn't know they were going to go forward. So by chapter 8, when God tells them to rise up and go forward, they're excited. Now they get a promise in verse 2 of chapter 8. Not only, God saying, not only am I going to let you go forward, But I'm going to let you conquer Ai just like you did Jericho. Well, that had to bring some peace in their heart. That had to bring some joy in their life. Wow, we're not only going to get to go forward, we're going to get our victory back. Well, I'm glad that God is able to give us our victory so many times and help us when we get down and discouraged. So now they've got the promise of God, and they're picking up momentum, and they're rolling forward, and they're headed into Ai, and they're not worried about the defeat in chapter 7 anymore. That's been dealt with. It's been taken care of. They're excited about the promise of going in and getting that victory, and they're going to be get back on top again. But then I want you to notice this. This is where my thought comes from of selling yourself short. I want you to look at the very next phrase in verse number 2. And I call this the possessions. Look in verse 2. He said, "Thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst to Jericho and her king." There's the promise. He said, "Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves." Now, anybody catch the difference between the command to go into Jericho versus the command to go into Ai? When they went into Jericho, this is what God said, "Don't touch a thing." When they went into Jericho, God said, "It's not time yet." When they went into Jericho, God said, "You leave that alone. That's an accursed city. Now, everything in that city is a curse. You don't touch anything." Achan thought, "I'm not going to wait on God. I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way." I see that Babylonian garment there is probably a mini skirt. Amen. More than likely. I don't know what it was. I just said that to make you laugh. Something flesh. It's Babylonious. It wasn't good. I'll promise you that. Babylonious garment. And there's the wedge of gold and the silver and all that. Achan said, "No, I'm going to do it my way." He did not realize he was selling himself short. He said, "I'm going to get some instant gratification. I'm going to get what I want. I don't care what the preacher said. I don't care what mom and daddy said. I don't care what the spiritual person in my church tried to tell me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to lay hold on it." And he lays hold of those possessions in Jericho, but he never gets to Ai. And now what you find is, here the difference in Ai is God said, "It's all yours. Whatever you want, it's right here." If Achan had just waited on God, he would have got the treasures of Ai instead of the trash of Jericho. And here's the problem this morning, young people. If you don't do it God's way, and if you don't listen to what God tells you and follow the orders of the Scripture, you're going to settle for the trash instead of getting the treasures. And I know what I'm talking about. And these other adults, they know what they're talking about tonight. I've got young people that are not young anymore, that I used to pastor, sat on a church pew your age and heard the same preaching and went to youth camps and testified and sung in the choir. And many of them today, they're living with the trash of their Jericho decisions instead of the treasures of the Ai that God had for them. Many of them today, they're sitting at home out of church, and some young girls with babies with no daddy around, and young boys working 3 or 4 jobs trying to pay child support, can't get their head above water, and they sit on the same kind of church pew that you're sitting on this morning, heard the same kind of preaching, had the same kind of influences, had the same opportunity, but somewhere along the way they got it in their mind, "I'm going to sell myself short, it's not going to matter," and they would give 10,000 worlds to be where you're at this morning. If you could have interviewed Achan, if you could have brought Achan back up from the dead and interviewed Achan, said, "Achan, was it worth what you got in Jericho?" He'd have said no. And you understand this morning? Achan didn't even get what he thought he was going to get. That's a lie of the devil. Devil will tell you, "I got something better for you out here." You'll lay hold on it. You won't even keep it. It'll slip right through your hands. He didn't even get to enjoy the spoils of Jericho that he took. He didn't get to have any time with that. God ripped it away from him as he destroyed him. And if he had just waited on God, if he had just not sold himself out, he could have got the possessions of Ai. Here's all the rest of the nation of Israel just walking through Ai, just picking up this. "Man, this looks good. I think I'll pick this up over here. This looks good." My pastor used to say this. He said, after he got saved and serving God, he said, "It's been from God's hand to my mouth all the way." And I'm telling you this morning, that's what God will do for you. If you won't sell yourself out, if you'll stay true to God and you'll walk the path of righteousness, you'll have more treasures in your life than heart could desire. You'll have more joys. You'll have peace. You'll have all the things that God has got for you, all the wonderful things that He's got in store for your life. But you're not going to get it if you sell yourself out. I don't know what area in your life this morning that some of you are selling yourself out in, but you need to get away from it. It might be the area of your music that's been preached on. It might be the area of your dress. It might be friends you're hanging out with. Some of you say, well, I just got to hang out with these folks. These friends, they're cool. They got this, they got that. You're selling yourself out. You're missing out on what God's got a whole lot better friends for you. God's got a whole lot better treasures for you. If you'll just stay with Him, you'll get the possessions that God wants you to have. And that possibility is shown here. If Achan had just waited on God, if Achan had not just been walking by sight and been walking by faith. See, that's what gets you in trouble. When you walk by the flesh and you walk by sight, we're living in a very flesh-driven, sight-driven society. It's advertisements and all the internet and all that's been dealt with this morning. I'm not going to rehash that, but we're living in a sight-driven society. And most people nowadays, oh, I see that. That's what I want. I see that. That's what I want. You live your Christian life like that, you're going to sell out. You live that way, God's not going to bless you if you'll just walk by faith. Listen, I know there's some young people in here this morning because we got them at our church. There's some young people in here this morning. You're trying to do right. You're trying to hold the line. And then you've got some other hypocrites in your church that aren't holding the line. And they're throwing in the towel. They got hypocrite parents that are throwing in the towel. You know, I've been thinking about this. When I was growing up, there used to be the terminology, a child born out of wedlock was called an illegitimate child. And I know no child's illegitimate. Understand me. But that's what it was called when I was growing up. I think now our problem, we got illegitimate parents. Amen. They're letting them do whatever they want to do, promoting them. Preacher preaches on something and the parents are back there laughing. Psh, we don't have to do that. Honey, you don't have to listen to that. I know there's some young people here this morning. You're fighting that in your church because it's in every church. You're fighting some people in your church. It's patting you on the back and say, God bless you. You live in that home where mama won't let you do this and daddy won't let you. You just tell them to take a hike somewhere. Amen. You tell them to get lost somewhere. You don't want to miss out on the blessings of God. You don't want to miss out on what God has for you. I'll tell you what I found out. A lot of those adults have sold themselves short in days gone by, and they want to pull you down to where they're at, amen? They want to pull you down to their mess. Some of those young people have sold themselves short, and misery loves company, and they want to drag you down because it burns their hide when they see you living for God. You don't listen to them. You look around where you're at this morning. You look around at this crowd that's still living right and walking with God, and you leave here, and you purpose in your heart, I am not going to sell myself short. I'm going to get everything that God has for me. I'll promise you there'll come a day in your life when you get a little age on you. You'll look back, oh, I'm telling you, and you'll be thrilled in your heart you didn't sell yourself short. You look at some of the older folks that are here. Don't you think they had an opportunity 20, 30, 40 years ago to sell themselves short? Sure they did. They had opportunities to cut corners. They had opportunities to get into things they shouldn't have got into, but they purposed in their heart like Daniel did that they were not going to be defiled with the things of the world. And now, today, God is using them. Their life is joyful. Their life has meaning and purpose. They don't have a lot of dread and a lot of baggage in their life because they did not sell themselves short. Well, I'm telling you, young person, this morning, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I beg you today, don't be like Achan. Don't sell yourself short. Just stay with the things of God. I know it's not easy. It's already been preached this morning. Being a Christian's not easy. Nobody ever said it was. Apostle Paul said, talked about the fellowship of his sufferings. That's what being a Christian is. Yes. Being a Christian sometimes, no doubt, is suffering. Yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. And I realize now a lot of the heat's coming from within the church. And I'm going to help you with something a little bit this morning, young people. I'm not being mean this morning, but I'm just being honest. I'm going to help you with something. A lot of this junk that's going on in some of our churches is coming out of the mouth of goats, not sheep, okay? I am convinced in these last days there's a lot of goats that are sitting on church pews and you're scratching your head looking at them saying, how are they getting by with it? I can't get by with it. It's because they don't have sheep nature in them. God's not going to whip the goats. He's sending them to the fire one day. I hope they get saved. I hope they get born again. But don't you let them drag you down. You just keep living like a sheep. You just keep serving God. You keep listening to the Word of God. You'll be able to stand back one day and say, I thank God I didn't sell myself out. Amen. I hope this will help you this morning. Amen. Come on, brother. Come on.